And welcome back in Tuesday Morning Blitz, Boji Wood on GameDaySportsRadio.com. Still got Scott Singer with us. Of course, Scott, sports broadcaster in the Atlanta area for 20-plus years, and we're talking about the graduate transfer rules and things that's going on with Kelly Bryant at Clemson. Of course, that's been the big news in this past week. And, Scott, now you actually saw Trevor Lawrence at Cartersville High School a good bit during his career.
Yeah, I did. I've seen him play in high school, and I mean, he was the real deal. I told a lot of people this summer, I was like, you wait, it won't be long before he's the starter, and I don't think a lot of people believe me, but I mean, it was the truth, and obviously it's worked out for him.
Scott, back in 2006 is when this graduate transfer rule was implemented by the NCAA, and there've been a lot of big names that have actually transferred, but this has really become quite common across the spectrum in the last 12 years.
Yeah, I think it has. One of the interesting things about it was banned in the SEC for a long time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until the SEC really adopted it that you started to see it. And I think that's kind of funny because usually a rule starts in the SEC and then it trickles down. I mean, you never had championship games until the SEC decided to do it, and then now everybody's got a championship game. And this is one of those rules that started outside the SEC because they didn't want it. And I think when they started seeing some of the talent move around, they kind of adopted it, and all, you know, now it's everywhere.
And I think we're going to see that again with the new rules this year, with players being able to contact other schools without letting their school know that they're going, their intentions of transferring. I think we're going to see more of that. I think the SEC, as is their prerogative as any other conference, I think they're going to get their presidents and athletic directors and football coaches together, and they'll pass rules to circumvent these national rules within the conference. Of course, you know, the SEC, they think they're their own little kingdom anyway, and of course, you know, we live right here in the heart of SEC country.
Yeah, definitely, and I think but I think this is not going away. I mean, I think the coaches wanted this, they've asked for it, they've now got it, and you're gonna hear cases like Kelly Bryant, and you're going to have a negative implication of this. But in reality, this is probably going to help, you know, 70, 100 kids that you don't hear of. And you're going to have some big names, and there's going to be a little pushback on those. But I think overall, you're going to see more kids helped, and you're not going to see as much of the free agency, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and that's really what they said. Hey, Scott, hang on just a second. We've got Mike Bernard, who is calling in because we've got the NFL recap segment coming up next. But actually, as I told you off the air, Mike and I had actually talked about this last week some. Let's go ahead and see if we can patch Mike through. Patch him through. Mike, are you there?
Hey, Coach. Hey, Scott. How are you guys doing? Just listening to your conversation so far.
Well, okay.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
All right. Now, Mike, again, you and I talked about this ad nauseum last week when all of this started going down. And again, just to kind of – I don't know if you heard all of mine and Scott's conversation, but, you know, kind of Russell Wilson was the big name that first got this. You can't believe I almost said Wilson Pickett, but anyway, that's another story altogether. But back in 2006, when this rule was implemented, you know, Russell Wilson, he was the first big name to take advantage of this. And of course, we have Coach O'Brien to thank for that, who tells Russell Wilson that he needs to choose between baseball and football. And he says, "Well, I choose football, and I choose to play my last year at Wisconsin." So that's really kind of the genesis of the publicity of the graduate transfer rule. And but Scott, let me ask you another question real quick. With this transfer rule, and you know, and again, and we'll just use the term that you used earlier, a lot of people look at it as a free agency, but you know, it's not only it's not truly a free agency, because there are some stipulations that, and they may get rid of these, But there's stipulations that within the graduate transfer rule that you had to be taking graduate classes in a field or in a major that your present school didn't offer. Do you know if that's still in effect or if they kicked that out a few years ago?
I don't know if that's still in effect or not. I can't imagine it is, but that's a pretty easy thing to circumvent.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
Pick something else that they don't offer. But the and that rule has been in effect. I think you could transfer across the board because I remember players from Maryland doing it back in, you know, I'm talking 15 years ago because they're – you could actually transfer without sitting out, without being a graduate transfer, just being a transfer if your school cut your major or they didn't offer the major or something happened to your major or something like that.
That's right.
Then it became an academic issue, and so you could play it against that. I don't think a lot of people took advantage of that, but I have seen that happen in the past. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I was part of a situation where we had a player transfer in, and he purposely and knew this was going to happen, and he went and purposely requested to change his major, and his school said, well, we don't have that. And he was able to lobby the NCAA. And again, this was not well publicized back then because I don't think the NCAA wanted this to be a tsunami coming at them with all these guys all of a sudden wanting to major in anthropology or something. But we actually had a guy that was able to transfer in and be eligible immediately, you know, because of that. And again, you had to state your case and everything, but that's a very good point. One thing I want to mention, one guy here, Jameis Winston, has probably done more to help the graduate transfer rule along than anyone. He actually had three players transfer out of Florida State because they couldn't beat him out. One was Jake Coker, who that kind of worked out well for Jake Coker at Alabama winning a national championship. And then the other notable one was Clint Trickett, whose father, Rick, was offensive line coach at Florida State for several years. And then he ended up Clint ended up transferring.
West Virginia.
Yeah, back to his father's alma mater at West Virginia there. Mike, I know we talked about it last week, and you were actually looking up some stuff on the number of graduate transfers that are out there right now.
Yeah, Coach, I put it all on spreadsheets. Imagine that. And, you know, I had the stat guys help me out, and there's 160-plus graduate transfers just for 2018. And we always talk about – and the media always refers to the quarterbacks and the big name players. But I found it interesting that there are 10 kickers, 4 punters, a total of 24 quarterbacks. That's not surprising, but 28 offensive linemen, 22 receivers, and 23 defensive linemen. So it's not just relegated to, you know, skill position players. Players from all positions are doing it, and they're doing it from many schools too.
And what surprises me is that a lot of these graduate transfers are they're transferring from not necessarily from an SEC school to a Big Ten school or Big 12 school. We're seeing that, but a lot of the players that are making immediate impacts are transferring from lower division schools up to Power 5 conferences. And I can't remember the kid's name, but Auburn's got an offensive lineman who last year was playing at UMass, and now he's starting on the offensive line for Auburn. And then you have Cole Tracy, the kicker at LSU, who beat Auburn on a last-second field goal. He was at Assumption College in Massachusetts. And you know, wanted a chance to, hey, let me go see if I can kick in the big time. Well, he's more than proved himself. Now, again, he was the the 2017 Fred Mitchell Award winner, and a lot of, I know people don't know what that is. Had it not been awarded at coaches convention, I wouldn't know what it was. But it's for the nation's top kicker in FCS, NCAA Division II, and Division III, or junior college. And so Cole Tracy, obviously, was a very accomplished kicker, but it's a big difference between going and playing in front of 10,000 people and all of a sudden you're playing in front of 100,000 people.
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah. And, oh, I'm sorry, Scott. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I was just going to throw in that, I mean, it's not as surprising as it may sound because a lot of these guys will get drafted. You'll see on an NFL draft board, you'll see tons of 1AA players, Division II players. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll find guys that they will find the talent out there. And so, you know, a guy that may have been, you know, a one-star talent, you know, 4 years ago, you know, could be a beast and playing in, you know, the FCS right now, but he can really play. And this may be almost like an NFL draftable kid, and now he's going to play another year to get a name for himself at Auburn or Alabama or whatever. And he, you know, so it's not as surprising as it sounds.
Right. I agree with you, Scott. There's a lot of lower level players. You look down the list at Pro Bowl players, and there's a lot of small schools and, you know, Hofstra and so forth. But, Coach, when you talked about
And before we get into that, I mean, we see it right now up in Chicago with Khalil Mack. I mean, you know, he goes to Buffalo, and he was not at that point in time coming out of high school, he was not a big-time talent. But he went to Buffalo, and he grew into the man and player that he is now. So, to your point, Scott, you know, you're 100% spot on there. All right, Mike, back to you. Finish your thought there.
Okay, well, you brought up the kicker for the LSU Tigers, Tracy. He kicked the game winner. But here's another thing, and it's not as covered as much as Tracy at LSU, but North Texas kicker Cole Headland, he kicked 3 field goals in a win over Arkansas, his former school. So he left Arkansas. He goes to the Conference USA, North Texas. He kicks 3 field goals, and actually, they didn't need his field goals because they stomped Arkansas. But the point is, as you have kickers going from big schools to small schools and smaller schools to bigger schools, et cetera, and, Coach, one thing that I found interesting is when we did our spreadsheet and we compiled all these players, and it was by team, by position, by player, SMU had the most grad transfers in 2018. They have 6. Houston and Kansas have 5 each. And West Virginia, Pitt, and Tennessee all had 4.
Now, when you say they have the most, they have received the most graduate transfers. In other words, they've accepted the most graduate transfers. Now, you know, and this comes a lot of times from, you know, we talked about the smaller schools and whatnot, but Scott, quarterbacks, big-time quarterbacks like Everett Golson and Malik Zaire from Notre Dame, they end up transferring, and, of course, both of them going to Florida schools, Golson going to Florida State and Zaire going to Florida. But just because you were successful at one place and you leave or what have you, you know, it doesn't necessarily equate to instant success, does it?
No, and you've got to come in and make an impact immediately, or you need to go somewhere where there's a definite need. And you also have to battle the fact that if you're equal with a younger guy or let's say a redshirt sophomore or somebody who's got 3 more years of eligibility or something, a coach is probably going to develop that other guy if you're equal. I mean, if obviously they're going to go with who's going to get them to win. But if all things are equal, your experience at another school is not going to trump the fact that they've got 3 more years with another quarterback to develop and it may lead them for 3 more seasons. And you also have the other thing that comes into this is that who knows if bringing in somebody, a graduate transfer that comes from somewhere else, that could screw up your locker room. It could mess up the chemistry. You just don't know. You're taking a risk. Yes, you're getting a talent, but you're also taking a risk on how is this going to work out.
Totally agree with you there. From personal experience, I can tell you that if I'm going to recruit and sign a junior college player who only has 2 years to play for me, then he's got to come in and he's got to be able to play right now. He's got to make an impact from the time that he walks through the door, because if I can recruit a high school kid that is just as talented as a junior college kid, I'm taking the high school kid every single time because I've got 5 years with him. And you talked about chemistry. To me, I'm wondering what that Clemson locker room is like right now. Again, talent is one thing. I think with Dabo, I think he did what he thought was right for the team. I don't think there was, you know, there was any ulterior motives here one way or the other. But at the same time, you know, I think Nick Saban, and as he does a lot of times, I think he handled this Tua Tagovailoa, Jalen Hurts situation as well as could be. With Clemson right now, they're still undefeated, Kelly Bryant still starting, and then Dabo, you know, unilaterally makes that decision to make the change. And making the change when he did gave Kelly Bryant the opportunity to leave. Had he started Kelly Bryant last week and then made the decision this week, Kelly Bryant has no decision because he cannot leave. However, last year, Saban let the thing play out, and a lot of people thought that he should have played Tua in the Auburn game, and he didn't. And Auburn, they beat Alabama. Now, Alabama didn't lose to Auburn last year. Auburn beat Alabama. And then, of course, they didn't have to play in the SEC championship game. But then, at the right time, at the right place, he, and for lack of a better scenario, he really didn't insert Tua into position. He let Jalen Hurts play himself out of the position. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I want to start by saying both of these coaches, I think, handled their situations beautifully. I think they're different situations, but I think they both did a great job of looking out for the kids and being completely transparent across the top and giving them every opportunity to do what they want, regardless of how it would affect the team. And I don't think we'd be even talking about the Clemson situation right now had Trevor Lawrence not gotten hurt on Saturday. And luckily, I don't think this is a big injury. I mean, from what I understand, he's probably going to play this week, and he was going to come back to practice possibly even yesterday. I don't know if he did or not, but they, you know, so it's not as big a deal. But I think both of these guys handled it up front and did what was in the best for their players. I think, you know, now Kelly Bryant leaving was all on Kelly Bryant, but, you know, but I think Dabo Swinney did the right thing. He let his, he was completely honest with him. It's pretty obvious if you look at the numbers, what the offense has done with Trevor Lawrence versus what the offense has done with Kelly Bryant. Kelly Bryant does have more experience, but that's pretty much the only category where you can check the box in his column. Mm-hmm. And on the other side, I just think it was, the writing was on the wall. Everybody knew it. The receivers have to be happier with Trevor Lawrence throwing to him because they're getting more balls. And I just think it was the right move in both cases. And I think in both cases, he gave these guys the opportunity. Now, I know Kelly Bryant's a senior, so, you know, he has to do something, which puts some pressure on him. He can't just stay another year like Hurts can at Alabama and then do something next year. I mean, this is it for him if he stays and plays one more minute. But, you know, that it's on him that he left, and we wouldn't even be talking about it right now. It would just be one player playing over another right now if it wasn't for this.
And, yes.
And you can go back in history and look at some very good programs where guys were set, you know, sat down because a younger guy played or stepped ahead of them, and they still got drafted into the NFL. I mean, they still played professional football and made money and made a good living, even though they may not have started their full senior year or at all.
Yeah, when
Coach. Go ahead. I was just going to point out, I think we talked about Matt Cassel didn't start a game at USC, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to that's what I was going to bring up that you brought up last week in one of our conversations. Now, Mike, going back to our preseason shows and our we talked about transfers, and I think that and I don't know if the data backs this up, but it seems to me since the graduate transfer rule took effect in 2006, it just seems like we have more transfers just in general for different reasons. And we talked about Wilton Spate, who was injury prone at Michigan and lost the and really ended up losing the job at Michigan because of a late hit versus Purdue. He ends up transferring to UCLA, and then, of course, he's got injured in the first game, hasn't played, I don't think, since then. And then Michigan turns around, and they turn to Shea Patterson, who transfers in from Ole Miss, who's able to play immediately because during the Ole Miss saga, he made the case that, hey, I was misled about penalties, about NCAA investigations, and so they give him the carte blanche to leave and go play anywhere he wants to without having to sit out a year. I just think we've seen an abundance of transfers over the last 10, 15 years. Maybe, again, old school, old grumpy coach here saying it may be the, you know, hey, it's all about me. I just want a trophy. Everybody gets a trophy. Where is my trophy? You know, Mike, what do you think about that?
No, I think you're spot on there. Look, just I don't have all my notes on this, but just going, you're talking about grad transfers and transfers in general. Well, Baker Mayfield, Cam Newton, you mentioned Russell Wilson. He was a grad transfer, and to be honest with you, I had really not forgotten about Jake Coker, but he won a national title at Alabama. Nick Marshall. Mm-hmm. At Auburn, was a defensive back at Georgia, transferred to Auburn, ran Gus Malzahn's offense beautifully. Nick Foles, people forget, he started in the Big Ten, went to Arizona, has a Super Bowl ring. Mm-hmm. I think whether the fans, the coaches, whether they like it or not, it's here to stay. Mm-hmm. And my personal opinion is, especially notably on Kelly Bryant, because I've heard a lot of people kind of imply or insinuate, well, this is not what's best for the team. Let me tell you, if that kid came to me for advice, whether he were a relative, a friend, I would say, you do what's best for you, okay? Don't buy into this guilt and blame, because when you get into the real world there, and you get that, you have to do what's best for you and your household. So I don't look at it as Kelly Bryant being selfish. Mm-hmm. He's trying to better himself. And, hey, if he's not the best quarterback, then the team's better off anyway. So I don't like hearing that argument.
I'm in agreement with you.
Go ahead,
Scott.
Sorry to interrupt you. I got another side of this that I think you need to think is, if a guy doesn't want to be there, do you really want him on your sideline or in your locker room? I mean, if he's, mm-hmm. you draft a kid on a couple of things. You draft him on talent, obviously, but you draft him on you recruit him on character as well. And when you do that, you're looking for a kid that's going to be committed to you. If that doesn't work out and that relationship is spoiled, it's probably in your best interest to get him out of there too, because you know if he wants to transfer. Great, because you want the kid that's going to, you know, take some adversity and be like, okay, we can handle this. We're going to come back strong and make something. You don't want the kid that's going to quit and be like, oh, I don't like it here, I'm out. And if that's the case, then let him go.
Right, and I want to remind everyone who's listening to the Morning Blitz Tuesday edition, October the 2nd, 2018, sponsored by Firehouse Subs, over 1,000 locations nationwide. Firehouse Subs, the hero of all subs. All right, guys, want to also point out is a lot of times we forget, as Mike Bernard, you alluded to earlier, about guys who maybe did not get notoriety until their last stop. Now, Baker Mayfield, he was a walk-on at Texas Tech, and the only reason he left Texas Tech is because they wouldn't give him a scholarship. Now, how stupid does Cliff Kingsbury look right now, but wouldn't give Baker Mayfield a scholarship? So he walks on again at Oklahoma. You know, and speaking of Oklahoma, a lot of people don't remember that Josh Heupel, who is now the coach at Central Florida, but was an outstanding quarterback at Oklahoma in 99 and 2000, I believe, he started his playing career at Weber State. He was at Weber State and then wanted to transfer up, and he was a qualifier coming out of high school, so academics weren't a problem. He goes to Snow Junior College and then transfers to Oklahoma. And also, as I think one of the unique cases of a graduate transfer is Greg Paulus. And, of course, Greg Paulus was Mr. Basketball in New York in 2004. He goes, he plays four seasons of basketball for the Blue Devils, And then he transfers back to Syracuse and plays a year of quarterback. And he was their starter. And, and again, they were, the whole program was struggling then. So you don't want to put it, you don't want to put this just on him. But I mean, he threw for more than 2,000 yards and completed just a tad under 70% of his passes. So now you think that's not bad for somebody that didn't play football for 4 years.
No, he was an exceptional athlete. He was a true All-American basketball player coming out of high school. He played for Coach K on some great Duke teams. Yeah, that was a great story, one of my favorites. And, Coach, you mentioned Oklahoma a lot there with Mayfield, and he went to Oklahoma. Well, Oklahoma and Texas A&M have traded quarterbacks, and right now, who's their quarterback? They're undefeated. It's Kyler Murray.
Right. All right. We're up against a break here. We've got to cut this short. Of course, Mike Menard, you'll be back next segment for NFL Recap. Scott Singer, appreciate you being with us. Any parting words of wisdom there?
I just think, you know, you got to look at any player that you recruit or look, you just got to look at the situation they're in. And, you know, I'll give you one quick example and then I'll let you go. But Joe Flacco, you know, goes to Pittsburgh, plays there for a year, throws one pass the whole season, and then, you know, transfers to Delaware, you know, fit in great there, took the Blue Hens to a national championship game, and then look what he's done in his career. So, I mean, it all comes to, like, how you fit into a system, I think, has a lot to do with it as much as your talent.
No doubt. I tell people all the time, John Elway was an outstanding athlete and an outstanding quarterback, but at the time that he came out of high school, he could have gone to the very best football program in the land at that time, and arguably now, the University of Alabama, but he would not have been successful running the wishbone as he was throwing the ball out at Stanford for those years. All right, we're going to take a break. We want to thank Scott Singer for being with us. Scott, hope to have you back on the show real soon.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, we'll be right back with Mike Menard. And NFL Recap on GameDaySportsRadio.com.